2 Timothy chapter 2. All right, well, if you can recall back several weeks ago, we began a message series called Marching On, and month of March, obviously, we want to be marching on and marching forward for the things of God and for the cause of Christ. And we started out in Ephesians chapter 6 and looking at that armor of God that we're supposed to apply and put on. Now again, let me just remind you of this. Every piece of equipment and armor has been provided. Our duty is to put it on. Not that complicated, but sometimes it seems to be, doesn't it? Our duty and responsibility is to put it on. You show up day one to boot camp. You don't supply all your own stuff. They in fact strip you down and give you everything you're supposed to have, right? And then they teach you how to use that stuff. The same thing applies to us spiritually if we'll take the Word of God at face value, as it is, and apply it, we'll find great, great benefit and great blessing. Now, as we think about, we're going to move forward here, 2 Timothy chapter 2, and looking at this warning that is given particularly to this man by the name of Timothy from Paul. Paul was his mentor. Paul was his help and his guide and his encourager. Notice what he says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." See that there in your Bible? You see that? The grace that is in Christ Jesus. "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Notice what he says though, verse 3. "Thou therefore," well, because of the grace and because of the command to commit to others, "thou therefore endure hardness as a good" what? Soldier. Underline that. A good soldier of Jesus Christ. "Now no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Now this morning we're going to look at this. We're marching on in the Lord's army. We're striving to move forward. We're looking to move forward. I don't know about you, but if you've lived the Christian life for any length of time, you realize very quickly that it's very, at times, difficult, isn't it? Now, it's not a walk in the park, but let me remind you of this. Doing God's will and serving God is light years ahead of living in sin like you used to. And you're shaking your head because you know that's true. Sin is hard. Sin complicates life. People say, "Oh, the Christian life is difficult. It's hard. I have to endure It's much better than what you used to live, isn't it? And you know what the adversary does? He gets, and I hate to use this terminology, but he gets on your shoulder and he tells you what? Your old life was better. Your old life was much more pleasurable, which it was. It was easier. Hey, 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 don't forget about the sleepless nights and the heartache and pain and divorce and all the things we could describe. Sin is hard. Sin complicates life. Do you know what the Bible says? The Bible says evil pursues sinners. A fellow came to me just recently. He said, "Brother Tim, you've got to help and I don't know what to do. I keep falling into trouble. Everything keeps happening to me. Bad things keep happening to me. All these issues keep coming up." And I asked him very politely. I said, "Well, how's your life going?" You know what he told me? He didn't tell me he's living a holy, righteous lifestyle, did he? What did he say? He's living in sin. And I said, "Sir," very kindly, not sir, but friend, he's a friend of mine. I said, you must understand something. Evil pursues sinners. You want to stop that? I dare to say 90% of your issues have to do with sin. Get rid of that sin. You know what the Bible also says? The way of a transgressor is easy as pie. Does it say that? The way of a transgressor is what? Hard. H-A-R-D. Hard. That word means difficult. The hard. Hardness. The word we're going to look at this morning when he says enduring hardness. It carries with it the idea of granite. You ever dealt with granite before? I sat and watched the fellas put in the granite countertops and they have to take a diamond blade and drill to get the holes in it for the faucet. And it takes them a while. And they sit there and sit there and sit there and it smokes and smokes and finally they get through it. That stuff's hard. That's what he's talking about. There's hardness. Now what I'm saying is, this morning as we march forward for Christ as a good soldier, remember this, a soldier, we're going to find some things and what we call directives given to us from the Apostle Paul. Now, Paul had been training and developing this young man by the name of Timothy, and we understand that Timothy did not have it easy. Now, he says earlier, he says, I'm mindful of thy tears. Paul says, Timothy, I'm mindful of what you've been going through. Timothy had it very difficult. He went to a place called Ephesus, which, as we studied a while back in our Wednesday Bible study, Ephesus was a wicked, vile city. The goddess Diana was a fertility god. And I'll be careful what I say. We have some children here this morning. But the fertility god. And you would know what they did. What they would offer on the altar in order to please themselves. And they sent Timothy there. Paul says, hey, Timothy, I got a church for you. He said, where is it? In Ephesus. Ephesus Baptist Church. And he said, oh. And he went there. So Timothy had it difficult. He endured the hardness, right? Now, there are ungodly influences around us. The culture around us constantly is pulling and even pushing us to conform. Now, Paul warns us in Romans 12 not to conform. That word conform carries with it a cookie cutter type of ideology. You conform to that cookie cutter. And the world says you must meet our standard in order to be a part of us. I'm amazed. I tell people often, I say, this is what the Bible says. And they say, well, I don't want the Bible to stifle my life. I don't want the Bible to try and tell me what to do. But you know what they'll do? They'll go to the world and the world will tell them what to do and they'll go. Right? The world says, you got to dress like this. Oh, okay. I don't have the money to buy those fancy clothes, but I'll do it. I'll find out a way to do it. You got to watch this and listen to this. You got to do these things. You got to go out on Saturday, Friday night and do these things in order to fit in, to conform. The Bible uses a word to combat that, and it's called transform, the transformation, right? And so we've already looked at that, but that's what's pushing against us. Not only is there conformity, but there's also the thing in Hebrews chapter 12 called the weights. They're not necessarily sins, but they're weights. What's hindering you this morning from marching forward? It's not sinful, and folks, I'm preaching to myself this morning. It's not sinful, but they're weights. They're holding you back from being what you should be. Listen, I don't mean to be offensive, but you give God 45 minutes on Sunday morning, you're not killing the fatted calf. You're not doing God a favor. We must understand that we need to pump it up a little bit, and I think some of us this morning can shift gears a little bit and get a little bit more serious about the things of God. Because I say this often, and I don't mean to be morbid, but I will. There's coming a day very soon when you won't be here. And if you give me the privilege, you'll be right here in a casket. I'd love to do your funeral. That's not very nice, is it? I'll probably be the first one to go. But if you do, right? We don't got a lot of time, do we? As I said a while back, about an 85-year-old man I was talking to, he said, well, I said, you ever thought about where you're going to go when you die? He said, no, I really haven't thought about that. I said, it might be about time. You might want to get on that one. Right? We don't got a lot of time left. And some of us younger, I included myself, some of us younger, we think we got some time. Well, I still got 30, 40, 50 years maybe. I got 20 years, maybe. I don't know. You better get busy for the things of God because if you're saved this morning, you're going to stand before Him very soon and He's going to go, what'd you do for me? Well, the last 10 years I was good in church. The last few days, the last few weeks I was real faithful. My friends today, I want to encourage you to march forward in the things of God. And we're going to see this. Notice, first of all, there's strength in God's grace. He says in verse 1, look at it again. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Do you know what grace is? We've looked at this already, so I won't go into detail with it. It's the unmerited favor of God. Grace is getting what we don't deserve. Mercy is withholding what we do deserve, which is hell, isn't it? Eternal damnation, right? Now listen, grace, the unmerited favor of God. And Paul says, Timothy, be strong in that grace and know who you serve. And Paul says earlier, I know whom I have believed. He says, I'm so confident in whom I have believed that I'm willing to go to the cross. I'm willing to go to the martyr's death. And we know he did. We know he did. Along with all of the other apostles. Isn't it amazing that in just 3.5 years, Jesus gathered together 12 men, trained them, taught them. He lost one of them, betrayed. But 12, just 3.5 years... And those men went out and turned the world upside down. God's looking for more soldiers today. Jesus Christ is looking for more men and more women and more teenagers and more married couples that will serve Christ faithfully. And he says, son, be strong. Now notice the care of a mentor. He says, my son. Now we obviously know that this was not his biological son. He was a great mentor to Timothy. Can I ask you something this morning? Is there somebody that you've honed in on and tried to help and tried to mentor, tried to be a blessing to? I look around and almost everyone in here, you've done that, right? Tried to be a blessing to. Tried to be somewhat of a father figure, tried to be somewhat of a mother figure. I don't know, but you tried to be a friend to. We see that everywhere Paul went, he took somebody. He took a man by the name of Titus. He took a man by the name of Demas. He took another guy by the name of John Mark. He took Timothy here, we know. Everywhere he went, he tried to mentor and encourage and help somebody else. Too many times I've taken my own Christianity and I've hoarded it, not shared it with anybody, not tried to encourage anybody. Notice that. There's strength for those behind us. There are people watching you. I say this, but did you know there's people drove past our church this morning that saw your car in the parking lot? And they went, oh, there's someone. What are they doing in church? No, I'm kidding. They said, well, they're in church. Faithful. They're faithful. You know, when I pull into the parking lot, I see a couple cars. But then I get inside and I sit and I wait. I see the cars pull in. And I go, amen, faithful, faithful. They're just faithful. Being faithful to God. You know, one of the requirements from God is faithfulness. Faithful. Being faithful. That's against the world today. The world promotes unfaithfulness. The world promotes infidelity. God promotes fidelity. God desires for us to be faithful to Him. But notice that. We have strength for those behind us. Strength for those beside us and with us. He says earlier in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers. Be an example. Do you know everything we know about this man Timothy is written to us from someone else's point of view? We never hear from Timothy himself. Timothy never speaks up in his own book and says, hi, I'm Timothy, and these are all my accolades, and these are all my accomplishments, and this is all that I've done. You know why? It means a hill of beans. Everything we know about this man is written from the point of view of another individual. And man, what a testimony. Amen? Man, what a testimony. He says earlier in Philippians, he says, I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state as Timothy does. Paul, probably the greatest Christian outside, obviously, of Jesus Christ, the greatest Christian, I believe, the greatest missionary, that's for sure. He reached more people, I believe, than anybody else. He says of this young man, I have no man that's like-minded. I have no man that has my mindset and my heart and my compassion. What did Timothy do? He marched on. He went forward. There's strength in the grace of God, my friend, today. And don't you ever believe the lie that you can't serve God and can't do what He's asked you to do. That's a lie from the pits of hell. That's a lie from the devil. You can do what God's asked you to do. You can fulfill what God's commanded you to do. You say, well, I feel like God's leading me to whatever it is. Obviously, first and foremost, pray about it. If need be, take some time to fast about it. Take some time to get serious about that before you act on it. But go forward in the grace of God. If you go forward in your own strength, you'll fail. We've all been there. I've been there many, many, many times. The grace of God. He says it's by grace through faith that you're saved. Are you saved this morning? Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? If you were to die today, heaven forbid it would, but if you were to, do you know you'd be in heaven? You say, I know that absolutely with 100%. If you don't know that, I'd love to take the Bible and show you. Because it's not your own works, it's not your own abilities that you get saved. It is the grace of God. It is His work. There's strength. There's strength. Notice the committing of truth. Verse number 2, he says, notice that, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses. The same, underline that word same, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. We're not to commit some truth that we come up with. We commit the same truth. We commit the same truth. The doctrine has been passed down century after century, and today we have it. My friends, don't ever believe the lie that this Bible is corrupted. Don't ever believe the lie that this Bible has mistakes in it and errors in it. We believe in this church, and I believe it unashamedly. You may disagree with me, and that's okay. This Bible is infallible, means without error. This Bible is inerrant. This Bible is inspired, meaning God breathed, God gave us this book, and He spoke through holy men to pen these words. People say it all the time. Oh, this book's written by sinful man. Sure, yeah, it was. You're right. But they were moved by the Holy Spirit to pen what God wanted them to write. And the sooner you settle that in your heart and get that right, the quicker you're going to move forward with Christ. People struggle. Well, I don't know what to believe. Read the book. Read the book. You and I need to spend time in this book, and I know that. We'll get to that. The committing of the truth. He says, commit thou. But we need strength to do that. And do you know what happens when you begin to commit the truth to other people? Verse 3, therefore endure hardness. When you commit the truth to other people, it's not like, wow, everyone pat you on the back. You're doing a great job. Man, thank you. It's not when I do something good and successful that I get people talking. It's when what? It's when you come forward and you get all the critics, isn't it? When you commit the truth, you're going to receive the criticism. To commit to something, it takes passion and sacrifice and self-denial. The unashamed truth, he says. Committing the truth. Endure hardness. Do you know and realize, and I'm sure you know this, every single saint that we read of in the Bible, every single character that served Christ faithfully in the Bible, both Old and New Testament, always met some type of persecution. Every single one of them. They took Gideon, and Gideon went forward. And he led a great battle, didn't he? Miraculous. And guess what happened? They said, Gideon, become our leader. Gideon says, no, God's your leader. Well, what later happened? Later, all of his sons were murdered. He was persecuted. We go throughout. Joshua was persecuted. Moses, we know, was persecuted. Abraham, come to the New Testament. All of the apostles died a martyr's death. And we think about that today. Are you committing the truth to others? What is our goal of marching forward and being a good soldier for Jesus Christ? Well, the main key is to commit the truth to other people. And I'm proud of a lot of you because you've taken our little gospel tracts and you've passed these things out like candy. Thank you. And keep doing that. Keep doing that. Thank you. And you pass these things out. What are you doing? Committing the truth. What are we doing here this morning? We're trying to hear the truth so that we can take and, pardon my language, but regurgitate it to other people, right? Give it out to other people. The continuation of the message, he says, the same commit thou. It's an unchanging message this morning. And I hope you know that. We serve a God, as we sang about this morning, that is unchanging. I'm so glad, aren't you? You ever gotten into a relationship and you thought this person was something that they weren't? And you got into the marriage a little ways and then you go, whoa, they're completely different than what I thought. Trust me, I know. I deal with that all the time. Not my own, but other people. But you think about that, right? People change. People are fickle and fake and frauds. The other day I got a bill in the mail and said, oh, we decided to change your bill. I said, we called them up. What's going on? Oh, well, we increased our rates. Well, thanks for letting us know, you know. They just do whatever they want to do, don't they? Those banks and credit unions and utility companies just do whatever they want to do. I'm so glad this morning, though, we have a God who's unchanging. And when you stand before Him one day, praise God, He's not going to go, did you do this? And I'll say, Lord, I didn't know I was supposed to. And He says, oh, I forgot to send you the email. We changed the... No. He's going to say, did you do this? And I'll say, Lord, I didn't know I was supposed to. And the Bible says He's going to give me chapter and verse. In Revelation, it says, out of His mouth comes a sharp two-edged sword. It's talking about the Bible. The Bible. As we looked at last week, the armor of God, the sword of the Spirit, is the Word of God. Now, what I'm saying, and I must hasten here, the committing of truth, the continuation of the message. Paul says, teach exactly what I taught you. Methods may change, but the message is unchanging. Praise God for that. Praise God. We know that. He says, commit thou to faithful men. Now notice verse 3, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. A good soldier. Do you see that? The descriptive words used. Now the results of committing truth are that we must endure some difficult things. There's hardness. There's critics. There's war. I've said this often. If you are short on critics and you say, I haven't had many critics lately, I'm kind of looking for a few to hire, just step out by faith. And I don't mean a big faith. I don't mean do something astounding. I mean do something small. I mean get up just 30 minutes earlier to just read your Bible. I mean just spend an extra 5 minutes in prayer. Do you know what's going to happen? I can't get my kids to listen to me hill of beans. I can't. What are you doing? Where are you at? They're over playing. They won't pay attention to me. But do you know when I go in my office and shut the door and get on my knees and start praying? Daddy? What? Oh, just wanted to know if you needed anything. Now you know. Right? Isn't that how it goes? Some of you, phone rings, right? That's how it goes. I sit down to read the Bible and study the Word and do other things like that. Spiritual. And here it comes. Here it comes. And that's what's happening. Now, the endurance. There's critics. There's a war. Let me remind you. You don't need armor if there's no war. And if you're not warring, then don't just disregard all of what I'm saying. If you're not in a war this morning, disregard all of this. If you're an apathetic Christian on the side of the road not doing anything for Christ, disregard it. But I'm saying to most of you in here today, I dare to say 98% of you, you're in a war. You're willing to take up the cross and march forward in this wicked world that is anti-Christ and anti-Bible. We see it. Now we see the results of committing truth, but also notice the rank of the soldier. His rank. He's a good soldier. He's a good soldier. Now there's all kinds of soldiers in God's army. There's all kinds. There's the average soldier. He's average. That's the run-of-the-mill Christian. That's the Sunday morning. That's the occasional Bible reading. That's the occasional prayer life. That's still holding on to sinful behavior and other things. And oh, we've all been there. That's average. There's also the AWOL Christian. How many know what AWOL is, right? Absent without leave. They've just abandoned the faith. Do you know there's a fellow that abandoned the faith? Turn over to chapter 4 with me. Chapter 4 and verse 10. Chapter 4, verse 10. Notice what it says. For Demas hath forsaken me. What did he do? Now, Paul could have stopped there, but Paul doesn't mince words, does he? Having loved this present world and is departed unto Thessalonica. He went back. Demas hath forsaken me. Do you know in the book of Colossians, Paul says, hey, Demas is with me, and he's been an encouragement, and he's helping, and he's just a blessing. Well, now we get to 2 Timothy, and 2 Timothy is the last book that Paul will write before they cut his head off. And he says at the very, Demas has forsaken me. Do you know there's people in your life going to forsake you? Betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? Did Jesus know that was coming? Absolutely, we know that. You think about it, there's people going to betray you. There's people that are not going to like you and your family and not going to like your Christianity and not going to like who you are. But listen, I don't mean to be rude, but who cares what they think? As we talked about before, our goal is to please Him. And I'm sorry if other people get offended or they don't. I had a family member just recently say, well, boy, you really changed and you haven't really wanted to hang out much and do this and that. I said, listen, I'm focused on Christ. I want to focus on Him. And when we please Him, we will inevitably please everyone else we're supposed to please. I've said that many times. You're not going to please everyone, but you'll please the people you're supposed to please. Let me set it in order for you really, really quick. Number one is Jesus Christ. Your goal is to please Jesus Christ. Number two is your spouse. Number three is your children. Number four is your job or whatever it is. And then under that, you have family, friends, siblings, and other things like that. Very easy. Have those things in order. And if any of those get out of place, you're going to have problems. Wife gets up ahead of Christ, you're going to have problems. Kids get up ahead of the spouse, you're going to have problems. You keep it in order. And you say, God, I want to do what you want me to do. But there are AWOL Christians today that are no longer here. Praise God that you're still faithful. Now I must wrap it up. He says you're a good soldier. A good soldier means you are an obedient soldier. You are doing what I've commanded you to do. You're following through. The regimen of the soldier. He says, no man warreth. That warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Well, why? That he may please him, God, Jesus, who hath chosen him, Timothy, to be a soldier. I don't entangle myself with the affairs of this life because my goal is to please him. And when you please God, you will inevitably go against the world. He's chosen you. He prioritizes what's important, and he pleases the Savior. He says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Author and finisher of our faith. Okay, I must skip ahead a little bit to get through this. Then the conduct is given. He says, strive lawfully. Now notice verse 5. And if a man also strive for mastery, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. That carries with it, we're doing what's right. We do it according to the will of God and the plan of God and the commands of God. Too many people try to serve God and go around the book and don't do what God told them to do. That's not the way I want you to do it, he said. You did a good thing, but I want you to do it lawfully. I want you to strive lawfully. There's no shortcuts in the surrendered life. Psalm 127 says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Too many try that. I want to do what you asked me to do. I want to follow through with that. And Paul says, verse 7, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. We have the ability to know God. Now again, let me say this. We're marching forward for Christ, and I hope you are. It's time for you as a father to buckle down and say, this is the way we're going to do things. We're going to do it according to the book. As a spouse, as a wife, you're going to say, we're going to go ahead and do this way, kids. This is the way we're going to do it. It's going to be hard and difficult. As a grandfather, you're going to say, this is the way we're going to do it. As a grandmother, as a child, as a teenager, as a young child here, say, I'm going to go ahead and do it this way, Daddy and Mommy. I want to follow the book. And I want to tell you something. As they told Joshua, they said, you will have good success. In that context, in the book of Joshua, he's not talking about financial or monetary gain. He's talking about what? Doing and fulfilling the will of God for your life. You'll have good success in fulfilling the will of God. You'll have good success in pleasing Him who hath chosen you to be a soldier. And I want to tell you something. You better find out what God wants you to do and start doing it. Your life will be so much easier. My parents used to tell me that. Just do what I tell you to do and your life will be much easier. And it was. And I was a good child. No. Okay, they're shaking their heads. But just do what God wants you to do. Isn't that true? Oh, sounds easy, right? Easy to say, hard to do. And I conclude this morning with this. You can be strong in the grace that God's provided. You can commit the truth to those around you. You find the greatest joy and the greatest fulfillment in helping other people outside of yourself. Isn't that true? The joy is Jesus, others, and then you. That's true joy. And you find that. You can then endure the hardness that comes with being a soldier. Oh, but the benefits are so sweet. The blessings are there. My friends, today, are you warring? Are you warring? There's a caution to not become entangled with this life. We have to work in this world. We have to live in this world. We have to float on the water. That's the purpose of the boat. But as soon as the water gets inside of the boat, we got problems. We know that. My friends, would you march on for Christ today? We can do it, can't we? In a world that's so wicked and vile and sick, you work with people that you just shake your heads at sometimes and what they say and their endeavors over the weekend and what they want to tell you about. Why don't you go in and say, hey, let me tell you about what I did this weekend. Let me tell you about what God's doing in my life. Far too many Christians are discouraged this morning. They're frustrated with themselves. They're frustrated because of their habitual failures and sin and other things. I encourage you this morning, why don't you step up and become the good soldier God's called you to be? Now, we know in particular, he's talking about a pastor here. So I'm preaching to myself in particular. But for all of us, being a good soldier for Christ. I want to encourage you with this, and I don't know if anyone's told you this lately. we need to spend vast amount of time in this book. And shame on us for not doing that. We didn't spend much time in this book this week. You work tirelessly all day, and I know you work so tirelessly. You get home, you plop down on the chair, and you don't want to do nothing. My friends, you need to spend time in this book. You need to spend time in prayer. We need to pray for those loved ones that aren't saved. We need to pray for our coworkers that aren't saved. And I'm telling you, when you pray for those people, you'll have a greater burden for the things of God. You need to pray. You and I need to get alone with our spouses and pray. We need to get alone with our kids and pray. Stand outside the door of your kids while they're asleep, and you get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and pray over them as an intercessor that they would not grow up to reject God and the church and the Bible like so many do. Oh God, please, as an intercessor, I stand here pleading for the souls of these babies. You and I need to stand. Stand for the things of God. I know I'm preaching to dear folks and friends today. You stand for Christ. You're faithful to God. You're raising your family right. You're doing what you're supposed to do. And we're not perfect. We mess up. We fail every week, every day. But you and I can march forward. Do what God's asked you to do. Spend time in this book. Spend time in prayer. And ask God, Lord, help me in these latter days to do what you've called me to do. And when I stand before you very soon, by the way, I believe we're in the end. I really do. All the things that are happening right now, I really believe it. And I know every pastor throughout every century has said the same thing, but I really believe it. Are you prepared? Are you prepared for that day? Do you know Christ is your Savior today? That's the most important thing. You say, Brother Tim, I don't know that. It's nothing scary. It's nothing intimidating. It's nothing embarrassing. If you would allow me, I'd like to take about 10 minutes of your time right after the service this morning as we conclude here in just a minute and take you through the Bible very, very easily. It's painless. You folks that are saved, you know that. And share with you what the Bible says about being saved. If you're saved today, but you've never been baptized, you've never followed the Lord in baptism, you've never the steps after salvation, I don't have time to get into all of that. If you've never done that, I want to talk with you as well. And we march forward and do what God's asked us to do for the glory of God. I must stop there this morning. Would you pray with me? Lord, thank you for this morning and your wonderful work of grace. Thank you for taking care of us. We love you. We thank you for allowing us to spend time around your word, Lord. Oh, how I needed this message myself. Strengthen us. It's easy to talk about, hard to do. We live in such a wicked world. Lord, help us as we war not to get entangled. Help us to apply the armor of God, that we may please Him who hath chosen us to be a soldier. In Jesus' name, amen.